I'm going to take us to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to begin with. I love kind of go through this book. I don't know how much of it we'll get in the first service. We'll probably end up with the armor of God either in this service or next service, and maybe take some other trails. So Paul says this, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have been drawn to that for the last year now, watching the Lord kind of direct, where do you put your faith and where do you put your love? Faith is in Christ and love is to his saints. And it's not just here that this is delineated. I remember authoring or reviewing a book for a publishing company years ago. They were trying to determine if they should republish it. I think it was by Eddie Smith. And he brought out this, the whole theme of the book was that we are to trust God and love people. But most of us want to love God and trust people. And that's where we get it all upside down. We were never called to trust one another as we are to trust the Lord. And therefore, but we are called to love one another. And the fact that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have an unlimited resource of breakthrough, life, victory, hope, joy, peace, whatever we need, healing, deliverance, wherever life went wrong, it'll go back right. He's completed. He's an awesome one to whom we can take hold of. And then love is what covers a multitude of sins. Love wasn't made to fix us. It's made to forgive us. And but when we want to engage truth on each other, we tend to make each other go back to the law instead of into the freedom Christ gave us. So I'll take you. Oh, Lord, you always do this to me. Let's take a moment and pray, because I think I just shifted my gears. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you want to say and how you want to present what you want to say. You have the whole Bible to do so. And Holy Spirit, you are the most ingenious and joyful and freeing and liberating and delightful person I've ever known. And you love to dance over us and sing and delight. Lord, it is a season. We called this a month of love because we know that there is something intensely powerful in the love of God when it's directed toward one another. It creates an atmosphere that is far greater than the one we could ever obtain if we were to pursue it by truth alone or faith in one another, or even to re-engineer a set of rules and prescribed ways. Instead, we are given a conscience, a covenant that has been now built in conscience, a covenant of the Spirit, one that is giving life, and one that is giving us righteousness. So I pray, as you wish to unlock this on this day of feasting, that the freedom that would come in this truth of Jesus' appropriation would just come and find us. And in a powerful, glorious way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to jump over to Romans. Romans 13, last three verses. I was drawn to this last night and then this morning again, but I thought, oh, verse 11, we're going to go to 11. And do this, knowing that the time is high, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, and now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Isn't that a cool picture, armor of light? to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we love, then we are in the light. If we cease to love, we are not in the light. If our love goes dim, then our light goes dim. Because this is the whole chapter is all that, a whole five chapters in 1 John's about that. But let's go on, because here's a real practical function. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy. Three little paths you can find yourself wandering into. You can get into the party scene. Life is about a party, having a wonderful time. You can get into the lasciviousness, sex, and all of its movements of the earth, and oh man, this is where life is. Or you can just get really focused and then fight with everybody. Strife and envy, because it's not, people are not giving what you're wanting, not yielding where you're trying to take them, and we can get in these efforts, and so it's they're listed in that revelry and drunkenness, that's one category. Lewdness and lust, that's another category. Strife and envy, that's another category. Strife and envy is probably what we all fall into most often, because it hides itself well in religion. It fits well in religion, because it looks like unto the Lord I'm doing this. Even though I'm killing you, I'm doing it for Jesus. You know, you're in my way and you're not in agreeing with what I believe. And as Jesus said, the time will come, then we will think we're doing God a service by killing people. And that's all over the earth today. Anyway, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, putting on is like putting on the armor. It's like it literally means to sink into, like a coat, like settle into. It's you know, settling into. Put on Christ Jesus, and that is that faith factor. That who is Jesus for me? I meditate. I grow. I nurture the words. And then it goes into chapter 14, and I want to kind of focus, because this is like one of those most practical chapters you'll find in the New Testament. Chapter 14, verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, and he who is weak eats only vegetables. I didn't choose this for the feast purpose. Or, you know, nut-sensitive diets or anything. Or we are vegans and, you know, paleo. Or we are plant-based. Or we are, you know, ketogenic, whatevers. We can go different directions on a diet. And even most of the time when we have a set regimen on the way we eat is a belief system. Because we've come to believe this is a better way for me to eat. A better way, my body functions better. I handle life better. I handle stress better. So belief is a huge thing about all of us. All of us have a massive belief system in lots of things. In the way we approach life, what we do first, what are our priorities, what are the things we have to not negotiate, things that we want to hold focus on. So he says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not for disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. And here now we'll start to, Paul's using the dietary issues, which is a lot of times referred to in the New Testament, mostly because it had to do a lot of times with us. Things that had been prior sacrificed to idols and then sold in the marketplace, and people were feeling that I can't eat something that prior had been sacrificed to an idol. Others saying, what's the difference? I just bless it and it's all fine. I can eat it. So there was these issues of conscience. 1 Corinthians 6 and 7 deals with this in a more short version. But what would happen, basically, is the person has the faith to do whatever. I can eat anything. I can eat McDonald's, and I can stay healthy. Just something that's just so somebody else, like, I can't believe you could even say that. That person looks at the other person who can't. It's like, oh, you poor, you know, I wish you had freedom. You know, it's just like there's a contempt, a despising, a belittling. We may never say it. We just kind of go, too bad. Right? We just kind of live in a little arrogance of ourselves. But on the flip side is the person that can't tends to be a judger. Oh, that, I don't even know if you're saved if you eat at McDonald's. And God, you know, God forgive. I'm not choosing that for anybody's, or it's not a secondary message in the behind the message. Just, you know, I'm the new thing is plant-based, you know, and that's all we got to be all plant-based, or no, I got to get into fat burning. So I got to not be into carbs. And you tend to, the more you get focused, the tend to judge more people who are broader, and the more broad you have of liberty, the more kind of like, oh, well, what are you, poor soul. Sorry you have to live that way. I'm free. But here's the deal. We are to receive each other. Yeah. We're not to conform each other. Amen. We're not even to change each other. It's not anything in this chapter will deal about changing the person to what you believe. In fact, the opposite is true. So he goes on and says, don't be aware of whichever attitude you have. You see, it doesn't matter whether you eat meat or don't eat meat. It's the attitude you carry about what you do that will either undo you in the presence of God or will support love. So he says, who are you to judge another servant? Turn around and look at your neighbor and say, you are the servant of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I can't judge you. You are free to do whatever Jesus told you to do. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Could you imagine going to we do it all the time. It's unfortunate. But we go to a store and we feel like somebody's working in the store and they're not pleasing us. We go tell the manager this person's an awful employee. And in a setting that may be so because it's a consumer-based society we live in, but on the other hand, we really are kind of, you know, stepping into other people's stuff and trying to dictate to one to another. So he said, why are you judging another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand. Now, this I love this because God is able to make him stand. So whoever... I've been meditating so much on this in Ephesians 4. There is one body, one spirit, and one hope of your calling. So let's just say you fall out of fellowship with somebody. Where are they going to go? There's only one body. Well, we can, you know, there's other fellowships that people can go find a way. But you're never going to have the arrogance. You might have it, you might feel it, but you'll never get supported in it, that God would say, oh, that person's now out of the body of Christ. You know, it's like we have attitudes that creep into our emotions that seem to be so spiritual, but they're actually just super, super yucky, super unlovely. But so he says, God is able to make him stand. God will collect his entire church and bring the entire body of Jesus Christ into maturity and perfection. He's going to do it, and he's not going to say, okay, this group is not joining me, so we're just going to cut off the arm and leave it on the planet. He's collecting all of us as long as it takes and as gentle and strong as he must be. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each man be convinced in his own mind. See, feasts, holidays, Saturday, Sunday. In the new covenant, we move from an absolutes by law to an absolutes by conviction or conscience. And once our conscience moves in a direction and we have faith from God, we are free to live from there. So he says... Somebody says, well, we have to observe this. And somebody says, I don't have to observe anything. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Do you understand where we're changing from the function as being the issue to the heart? We're moving from externals to coming out of from living from an internal position, to which we are responsible before God to live that place by our faith in Christ and then to walk in love toward each other, because now he's created the capacity for us to have a lot of varying focuses, largely to do with sanctification, why in which you're separated unto the Lord for what you're called to be and do. So he says, he who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat, does not, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So everything is unto the Lord, for the Lord. I do this for the Lord. And then if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose again and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. So this all in all, Jesus is all and in all. And he's assuming, collecting, connecting, calling us forward. And we can get like Peter, that we look at John and we're always asking the Lord, what about him? And if you have an ear to hear, the Lord will always say, what does that matter to you? Whether it's your husband, your wife, or a member of the body of Christ, if you try to put on your faith on someone else, you'll probably get God to say something like, that's none of your business. It's so important, because each heart now has to live unto the Lord, and each heart has to be responsible for their heart. So why do you judge your brother? Now we're going to get into the nitty gritty. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt? See, the judging is that weak faith that says what you're doing is wrong. And because what you're doing is wrong, I can't associate with you because you're wrong. That's judging. Why do you show contempt? Oh, you poor, weak little person, don't have any liberty in Christ to live the life that I have been given. That's arrogance. They're both arrogance. They're both pride. They're both trying to live from my position of faith makes me right, and therefore is the position all people are to conform to at some point. I put up with you for a while, but let truth be told, I'm right. Doesn't work well in marriage, doesn't work well in families, doesn't work well anywhere, because we're trying to meet each other on truth, we're trying to meet each other on right and wrong, and we're just going backwards to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he goes on, he says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I love how Paul at certain times just lets us know where we actually are going to have to deal with what we've done and who we are and why we are. He says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God. Then each of us, shall give an account of himself to God. This is what we talk about in 1 Corinthians, when we say if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. This is what prayer is in a wonderful fashion. It's allowing ourselves to give account to God, not to defend ourselves, or to prove what we're done is right, but just to walk in an open relationship with God. Every time we want to live by law, the Lord will support that to initiate and change. But as soon as change is initiated, he's going to say to you at some point, let's just follow the Spirit now and not the law. And that's a really difficult thing, because the law is safe. If I could, I would live by the law, because I could do it pretty good. I got a really focused mind. I'm not that good anymore, but I once was really good. I'm tired. I just don't have the energy to do it anymore. But in any case, you can just, go, okay, I know what to do. Tell me what day to worship. Tell me what to wear. Tell me how to live. Tell me what to say. And it's like, okay, I'm safe. I'm inside of law. But God, the Holy Spirit, is the new covenant. In 2 Corinthians 3, you read it. Moses brought us the law. That was the first covenant. Jesus brought us the Spirit. That's the new covenant. So we're not going from the covenant of law to grace. We're going from the covenant of law to Spirit. And the law then brought death, and Spirit brings life. And death brought condemnation, and life brings righteousness. So we're in this. I'm having to go to the Holy Spirit for everything. Not in some weird, funky way, but also in like, how are you in this current mode? How am I to be responding in this situation? That's how come we can love people in sin and not have to condemn them. That's how come we can become super receiving. We can eat with the sinner. We can go pretty much anywhere the Holy Spirit asks us to go and be sanctified because of Christ and his law. So he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather, and here's where now love kicks in. See, all this has been about my faith toward God. But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Because it isn't take rocket science that we all start to understand how we are and people around us and what people close to us are comfortable with and what people are not. And so we can't just kind of go, well, I'm just going to live my freedom, but that's what we're not supposed to. We're supposed to instead say, wait a minute, I have to be conscious or considerate of the person I'm traveling with. So because he goes on to verse 14, he says, you know, the goal is I don't want to cause someone to stumble because it really is about somebody stumbling. It's not about whether it's right or wrong. Because he says, I know and am convinced that by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. So bacon's fine. Or not. Asparagus is great. Or not. Why? Because nothing is unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So now you've changed from a dietary, again, physical externals, to an internal belief system. And so if I look at going, oh, bacon, man, that is like the plague. That's obviously God made it a rule. Now don't eat bacon because he knows how bad it is and blah, 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 blah. I'll feel pretty good about myself if I don't eat it. But somebody else is like, well, I love bacon. It's part of the ketogenic diet. Little fat here, boy. I feel pretty good. I said that word, actually. I actually said that word. Complete. Anyway, if you consider it unclean, it is unclean. Yet, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Now, here's my trouble. I'm sitting at the table eating my bacon, and you're sitting there next to me going, I wonder if he's still saved. Because it's an obvious move of the Spirit right now, trying to restore the dietary laws of the New Old Testament, because that is the way man is supposed to live, because that's the way God set it up. And this person obviously isn't hearing what I'm hearing, so I wonder if they're even saved. And I'm feeling like I'm really creeped out now, and I'm also starting to feel like there's there's a spirit attached to this, and I'm starting to feel defiled by your bacon eating, and I'm beginning to wonder, what else do you eat that I don't know about? And it just gets weird, right? We've all been there. So he says, if your brother's grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. See, here's the key, the walking in love. This love that covers a multitude of sins, which is not just the sin of what obviously sins, but that covering anybody else is having issue with stuff. Just, I'd rather, don't destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Isn't that crazy? That you can divide and destroy and weaken people over issues that Jesus said, just never go there. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. And by the end of this, you'll the Lord wraps it up really tightly, or not tightly, neatly. Paul does a really great way of how do, in fact, we live. But in these cases where we're starting to have this conflict, what do we do? Don't let what is good for you be spoken by someone else's evil. For the kingdom, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It isn't about any of this. It's not about holidays. It's not about what you do during the day. It's not about whether you watch TV or don't watch TV. Or whatever thing. It's not about driving cars or riding bicycles, saving the planet, or just taking a diesel and running it all 24 hours. It's not about that. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, here we are now coming into the real nitty-gritty covenant. We're coming inside the covenant, people. We're all going to step in. This is the new covenant I want to live in. Okay, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Which is, I love well, verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. It's a super powerful focus. You know, if I go, Lord, I want to serve you today in your kingdom. Holy Spirit will come and say, okay, let's walk together in righteousness. My righteousness appointed to you through my son, Jesus Christ. What he accomplishes now, you believe in his resurrection. That is given to you as righteousness. Your righteousness is through his justification. You have nothing to justify yourself by, but Jesus has justified you in all ways. Settle into that. All things are made right by Jesus. And with that, and we'll see this in the, you see it everywhere. The first fruit of righteousness is peace. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. So again, not by what I ate this morning, but by my believing, I step into righteousness, not from the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And then from within righteousness, knowing I am accepted in the beloved, peace. And that is so important because most of the world's trying to find peace by eradicating other things. When peace is actually inside the Holy Spirit. And then follows joy. Having justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we stand, have access into the grace in which we stand, and now we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are expectant of good things, joy, righteousness, peace, and joy. It'd be a great assignment for this week. Just practice it. Lord, I'm going to come. I want to pray. I want to just step in the kingdom. I want to experience in the Holy Spirit righteousness, peace, and joy. I used to ask the Lord, how does righteousness feel? Because if it doesn't hit a feeling, it probably isn't going to last long in my thinking. Righteousness for me feels like everything's okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's cool. We're good. No worries. It's made right. It's going to be good. I got this. I fixed it. I'm okay. We're good. We're good. That's righteousness, a feeling. Peace, again, it comes from God because only God can say to every one of us in this room, I justify you through my son. And furthermore, I don't let anybody else in this room accuse you because I justify you. So not only do I justify you, but I refuse to let anyone bring an accusation against you to me. That's why when you pray about somebody changing, God usually turns a deaf ear. Because he's just not about changing somebody else so you can feel better. He'd rather leave them annoying you. So you go to him so you get changed. So that you can love somebody who's annoying. Isn't that weird? I learned that with Cammie when I first got married. Not that she's annoying. She's watching, honey. You know what I mean. I'd go to the Lord and as I started to feel the limitations of being married in covenant with someone who had their own desires and needs, who would place those desires and needs and nuances and idiosyncrasies that began to become more of a limitation to me than a blessing. So then I would think, we can fix this. I'm going to go pray and have her change. And so I'd go into, Lord, I need her to be this. You know how important I am to do what you called me to do. I need you to do that. And it would never fail that God would come along and say, you know, I just like the way she is, and I don't really, not going to listen to what you're saying, and I want you to be more accommodating, more comfortable, more patient. What are you having? And I just go, like, after about a year, I thought, forget it. Never going to talk to you about changing her because it never works. You just put more change on me. And so you just start to live in love, right? That's love. I'm not changing you to get me to where I need to be. I'm going to be changed because of you by going to Jesus, who is the change agent. So if there's anyone going to change, the only authority I have is me. And so it was just always a strange thing. So he says, righteousness, peace, and then joy. If I'm in the midst of that, I mean, that's really what prayer is, resettling yourself to the truth of the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if I'm doing that, I'm serving Christ. And I'm acceptable in the sight of God. And the funny thing is, you're usually not too obnoxious to the rest of the world. I mean, because you're not going around with this like chip on your shoulder and this issue that you got to have resolved and these funky things that are going on. You can, we can come out of being pigeon-toed into decisions that we really don't want to make, but we're being forced to make. That's what the law does. The law says, we caught this woman in adultery. The law says she's to be stoned. Jesus, what do you say? It tries to force things to a decision. God's always trying to say, I'd rather not say. Because if we deal with this, we're going to start a repercussion that by the time we're done, all of you are going to be stoned. Because that's the way, the nature of the law. It just doesn't leave anybody standing if we go to the letter of the law. So what Jesus did, he sits down and just starts writing on the ground. And finally, he has to address the real issue. Whoever is without sin, you initiate this. Okay. I didn't think it had to do with my sin. I thought I could just deal with somebody else's sin. I didn't know my sin and their sin are connected. Woo! And then it says, beginning at the oldest, who were convicted by their conscience. The whole New Testament is about a conscience. Paul got in all kinds of trouble because he said, men and brethren, I live with a conscience void of offense to God and man. That's not because he lived perfect in not offending man. It's just he dealt with every offense before the Lord, so his conscience kind of got into peace. That's what this whole piece is about. Whatever you eat, whatever you don't eat, it's all cool, because as long as you're cool and God and you are together, then you're good. And somebody else can't stop it, and you don't have to force it. So therefore, let us pursue things which make for peace and things which one may edify another. So now we're thinking, okay, how, knowing who you are, how do I bless you? Knowing that you're never going to change, how do I release love to you? Knowing that it's not my job to change you, just my job to love you, how would I show love to you? What's your language of love? It's just, it's a whole different freedom. I want to release everybody in Jubilee. You're no longer responsible to change or correct anybody else in your life. Woo-hoo! You are free. You do not have to go home and fix your husband or your wife or your pastor or your employer or your kids. You are free. All you must do is live unto the Lord, enjoy him fully. Get full of righteousness, peace, and joy, and serve him in that fashion, and find ways to be at peace with each other. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Do not destroy one another for the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure. And here, watch this. This is why this doesn't work. We're really going to get to the nitty gritty. All things indeed are pure. Bacon's pure. Farmer John Bacon, God bless you. It's pure. Pure. And you got faith for it. You can eat bacon to the last day of your death and it won't have affected you because you have faith for fatty bacon. All right, that's cool. But I'm preaching to some choir members. All right. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats it with offense. He's sitting there watching Larry Bingman go. Oh. He's the only guy I know who travels all around the world and wants to eat American food wherever he goes. So he's eating bacon, you're looking around and go, golly, he seemed to do okay. But do you have an inner conviction that is probably because God has an inner purpose? He might just even know something about your metabolism. It just wouldn't work that well for you. But you see this thing is happening, so you go ahead and try to eat. And I was like, oh man, I'm so sick. I'll never do that again. But because I'm sick, it must mean that Larry's wrong. But no, it says, it is good neither to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. You see, my freedom can make you weak or stumble or offended. Now, here's the key. last verse. Do you have faith? How many have, we all have, do you have faith? Faith how to live, faith how to pray, faith how to honor God, faith how to honor him in paying your taxes, faith how to drive on the freeway in the speed limit, or a little above the speed limit, or maybe just the flow of traffic so you don't interrupt the men. You know, we all have faith. It's an inner core belief that we have with God. Do you have faith? Yes, you do have faith. But happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. This is the part. We can get caught up in other people's faith, but we don't really have faith, and we don't have the confidence inside, then we're going to have this inner conflict. And we have to take ownership. It's not because somebody else is wrong. It's because we don't have resolution here. We have to go find out where we fit with God. We have to go. So, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. Isn't that funny? Doubt is sin. Unbelief is sin. Faith is righteousness. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whoa! They changed the entire dietary laws of the old covenant that mound to the covenant of the Spirit. That changed the feast and the observations of days, and just basically took everything from something that could be, that's always wrong, this is always right, to having to say, Lord, how do I find you, and how would I find life to flow with you, from you, through you, to you? How do I come into you and you into me? Each of us learning the voice of God, growing in the sound. And while we're doing that, we're all going around going, no, I've got liberty, but I don't know that I really, I'm just going to have faith to myself right here. See, when you're young, as soon as you find a point of liberty, you go tell everybody. Everybody, we're free to not do this. And you hit somebody and says, oh, yeah, and yes, you're not free not to do that. And now you're in conflict because you just told somebody what God told you. Don't tell everybody what God tells you. Consecration is your business with God. Consecration is the unique way God told you to live so that you could walk in authority and power and anointing and victory. And if someone else put on your armor, they would have no authority. And if you tell people about your armor, it's like that bunny trail I did not too long ago with the young prophet tells everybody, hey, this is what God told me. I can't come. I am to go and declare the word and come back a different way. Don't eat anything. But he tells everybody his consecration. Nobody has to know your consecration. If you have to get up at 4 a.m. and run 17 miles, great. But don't tell people because you're going to get talked out of it or judged by it. If God says, hey, I really need you to relax a little, drink some wine, don't go tell people that. Because they're going to go, just squint right out of their eyes at you. And if God says, tells you, stop drinking wine for a bit. Don't go and tell everybody, it is now decreed from heaven that wine is no longer blessed. No, you're told not to. Do you understand? Once you get that, then you know how, oh, I want to keep faith is precious. If someone comes to me and says, I just found I have cancer, and I'm headed to the doctor, and I'm going to begin a regimen of chemotherapy, and we're going to have surgery. It does not matter what I think. I have no business. I'm not the doctor, and I'm not the person. So I don't care whether I think that's a good idea or not. Because I found something, and here's how I close. Faith is sacred to God. And you mess with somebody's faith, God doesn't like you doing that. You tweak somebody and force them off of that track or cause doubt to enter into what they're doing. Ooh, do you really want to do that? No, you find the place to agree. You find the connection where the person is, and you join and find a way to bring peace. Does that make sense? And when you have that's again why if you're facing something, you probably better not tell everybody what you're doing. That's unique to the way God's showing you how to walk it out, because you're going to get all this like, what are you doing that for? I can't believe you're doing that. Oh, did you know I have a sister? She did that and she's dead. You know, All right, enough meddling. Holy Spirit, what a unique place you put us, living body, multiple members, multiple functions, multiple unique callings, and each of us loved ferociously and accepted completely, and that given the responsibility not to go teach each other to know the Lord, but to know the Lord ourselves, and to walk in that place of forgiveness. Would you for us create fresh faith, not faith that someone else is projecting to us, but the faith that comes from hearing you speak and decreeing to us, this is the path I would have you walk, and the way I would have you stand, and who I'd have you hold yourself in. And then at the same time, Lord, oh God, my Papa, create, pour that love that Jesus gives us so we feel that super acceptance and we can release greater acceptance to each other than we ever thought possible. Lord, I thank you that love is the bond of perfection, and it's how we cover sin, and it's how we unlock people from whatever they would get locked up in if we were to try to fix them with right and wrong thinking. So we release one another and each other from the responsibility of changing one another and receive from you the simple command, walk in love. Father, let it be. Let it be. May we be so loved that it's easy, because our faith in Christ is so full and faith in what he has accomplished so complete that we are well-loved sons and daughters and can love in a large way. I pray that for today, even this month of love and this feast, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.